Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning. Welcome again to Democratic Perspective. Mike Costantino and I are here today. I'm Steve Williamson. We're talking again this week with Avi Chomsky. She's a professor at Salem State University in Salem, Massachusetts. And we're talking about immigration. We're talking about her book, They Take Our Jobs, and 20 other myths about immigration. So we're talking with Avi Chomsky about myths about immigration.
Yes.
Where should we start, Mike?
Aviva Chomsky. Aviva, does your name have a meaning?
Aviva means spring. I usually go by my nickname, Avi.
I see. Very good. Well, yeah, let's talk about, let's just start at too big to solve. One of the things, even among, when you're talking to people sympathetic to immigration issues, after a short time, they say, well, it's just too big a problem. And you have some information in your book about that. The 2007 copyright, we just talked about this, right? They Take Our Jobs and 20 Other Myths. That's one of the myths.
So, yeah, I mean, immigration is a big problem, and it's not exactly in the way that most people conceive it. I think there's a lot more aspects to it that people aren't even aware of that make it very big and very problematic. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing we can do about it, even if we can't necessarily wave a magic wand and have an ultimate solution to all of the problems related to immigration. I argue that immigration is a problem mostly for the immigrants themselves. That is, the people who are immigrating to the United States are people who are pushed out of their homelands by reasons of the global economy. Obviously, the global economy isn't about to change overnight.
Would extending full legal rights to immigrants help or exacerbate the problem?
Well, again, it depends on how you define the problem. But if you think the problem is inequality, human suffering, human rights violations, which is what I think the problem is, then extending full legal rights to immigrants would clearly help solve the problem. If you think the problem is people being pushed out of their homelands by economic forces over which they have no control, I think that's a problem that's important for us to talk about solving, too. Extending full legal rights to immigrants isn't going to solve that problem. And
so you're
by
talking
the way, extending
about
full
the
legal rights to immigrants is also not going to happen overnight, but I think there are some ways we can talk, some small ways that we can talk about moving towards that before we get all the way there. The same thing with the global economy. We're not going to change it overnight, but I think there are small things we can talk about doing that actually will make it more possible for people to survive at home and not have to migrate. So I think if we start from the basis of according people human rights wherever they are, there are definitely steps that we can take. In the U.S. right now, some of the legislation that's being discussed that will help restore human rights to immigrants are things like the DREAM Act. That are being discussed in various states, making it possible for immigrants to get driver's licenses, rejecting the Obama administration's new announcement that it's going to force every state in the country to participate in the Secure Communities Program. So there are things that we can do that start us down the path of affording rights to people who are undocumented. And I also think there's things that we can do that start us on the path of creating a more fair and just global economy that's going to allow people not to have to face all the hardships that come with immigrating.
Are you prepared to talk about the DREAM Act for a minute or two here? It's fascinating
Sure.
to me.
So the DREAM Act is federal legislation. It's been proposed numerous times. It's never been passed, but it's on the table again, that would create a path to citizenship for certain undocumented immigrants, only for some. Right now, there's no path to citizenship for any undocumented immigrants. So the DREAM Act would make a small chip in that absolute stone wall and allow some people who are here undocumented a path to citizenship. It would only apply to young people who were brought to the United States before the age of 12 by their parents, who are high school graduates, graduated from high school in the United States, and who either choose to go to college, attend an institution of higher learning, or to join the military. Right now, people who are undocumented find it extremely difficult to do either of those things. So this would open the way for them to do one or both of those things and thus start them on a path to citizenship, which currently doesn't exist.
That's and I don't understand the opposition to that, but for some reason there is, and
I think most people, citizens in the United States, believe that there is a path to citizenship, and that people who are undocumented simply choose not to follow it.
I've heard
so many times people say, "Well, why don't they do it the right way? Why don't they get their papers in order?" Well, they don't, because there is no path right now. So I think that if people understood the current situation, they would be more supportive of opening a path.
That's a very good point. I was listening to a show a year or so ago about a Canadian hockey player, a Canadian, been here 16 years, and it took him all of that time and tens of thousands of dollars to get a green card. I mean, let alone, and forget about somebody that's an undocumented worker coming over to bus tables in a restaurant. It took all of those resources for him to be 16 years and all of those resources for him to become a citizen.
Yeah, I think you're making a good point. I've heard here from people that saying, well, they're nice folks, they're hardworking, they don't cause any trouble, we like them, but they've got to go back to Mexico and reapply to come here legally. If they're here illegally, they have to go because they're illegal. That's the bottom line. And I think they don't realize that they won't be able to get back into the U.S. Most of the people being arrested, I think, on the border now, or there's been a huge increase, are people re-entering the country. In other words, somebody has a job here, they go to Mexico, their mother is sick or something like that, and they try to come back in the country. Those are the folks who are getting caught now, not new immigrants so much from Mexico.
Yeah, I was down on the border working with the organization No More Deaths last spring and taking testimonies from people who'd been deported, caught in the desert and deported back to Mexico. And many of them were people who had lives in the United States. They owned homes in the United States. They had children who were U.S. citizens. They had jobs. And just as you described, they went back to Mexico for one reason or another, and they couldn't get back.
Yeah, I've had people say, I speak Spanish like a junior high school student. I don't really know Mexico. My parents brought me here. I learned a little Spanish at home, but it's not really my first language, and yet they want to ship me back to Mexico where I've barely been.
Let me ask you this, Avi. Does the debate in Congress really reflect, do you think, America's opposition to immigration?
Well, I think that American public opinion has shown itself to be very malleable on the issue of immigration. And depending on how the question is phrased and what information people have, they're going to answer in very different ways. So in some ways, I feel like the debate in Congress creates public opinion on immigration, because if people are listening to pundits saying things like, immigrants are taking your jobs, immigrants are destroying the economy, then they're going to say, oh, well, immigrants must be bad, they're doing all those bad things. But if people actually had information about the role that immigrants play in the economy and the way our system has demonized certain groups of people, I think people are much more likely to be sympathetic. If you look back, even 10 years ago, the debate in Congress was quite different. There was actual possibility that a comprehensive immigration reform was going to pass when Bush was president, and President Bush was supporting it. Now the sort of Tea Party ideology has taken over, and
they won't
listen
to anything.
Hear those moderate voices in Congress anymore.
Right. Let's step back even further and ask, you know, is this a problem? This is a created problem. Is was immigration ever a problem?
To me, immigration is primarily a problem for the immigrants themselves, because the immigrants are people who have been marginalized by political economic forces in their own countries, and then they're forced here where they're further marginalized by political, economic, and legal structures.
But it certainly resonates, becomes a political thing for all kinds of Tea Party-like and certainly extreme, as far as I'm concerned, conservatives. It becomes a rallying point rather about a problem that doesn't really exist all that terribly.
I think it's a way of creating a scapegoat for very real political and economic problems, and environmental, I guess I should add, problems facing our country. But for people in positions of power who don't want citizens to really look more deeply into what's going on with our country and to just find an easy scapegoat.
Yeah, there's tremendous fear, not so much up here in northern Arizona, but down in Maricopa, that quote here where Russell Pierce, who's the guy who's been behind a lot of the most extreme anti-immigrant immigration, talks about an invasion from Mexico. Mm-hmm. He talks about the collapse of a basically Western civilization, you know, because we have Mexican immigrants. He complains about Mexicans sometimes fly the Mexican flag as well as the American flag. When I lived in New York, you know, the Italians fly the Italian land, you know. And the Puerto Ricans and the Germans have Steuben Day and it's not, but here people take deep offense, personal offense. They're insulted by these things. How do you talk to them?
Yeah, here in Salem we have quite a few Italian flags too, Knights of Columbus. You know, I think people talk about trying to preserve or go back to some mythical moment in American history where there was equality and homogeneity. And I don't think that mythical moment ever existed. I always wonder, like, so what year exactly do you want to turn the clock back to? There's always been inequality in the United States. There's always been multiculturalism in the United States. We've certainly taken steps towards eliminating some kinds of built-in inequalities in our country, and yet at the same time we're creating new types of built-in inequalities. Where did the English language come from? Did it come from England hermetically sealing itself? No, it came from migrations and cultural mixing and language mixing. The human race has been benefiting from cultural mixing ever since culture began to exist.
In the Southwest, we use a lot of Spanish and English words interchangeably. We eat Mexican food.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's been I sometimes think these people have arrived from Minnesota and they go to a Mexican restaurant and there's actually Mexicans in the Mexican restaurant and they get really scared.
Yeah, well,
And it's not quite like it was, you know, I'm not knocking people from Minnesota, but it's not like it was back there. There's actually Mexicans here and we've been getting along reasonably well. There's been a tragic history between U.S. and Mexico, but in recent years, people have been getting along, and it's like they want to throw the nicest people on the block out of the country.
What about U.S. policy?
We got 1 minute to.
Well, then this is a longer than
we're
going
to have to wrap it up. Our podcast of Avi Chomsky interview will be on the internet, www.vvid.org, and you'll be able to listen to her. Do you have the book, Mike?
Yeah.
You'll be able to re-listen to her interview. The book is called They Take Our Jobs and 20 Other Myths About Immigration. Recommend it. She's got a lot of really good points there. Well, we got to wrap it up for today. We'll see you next week. Avi Chomsky again. Oh, nope. We're going to have Lane Kinworthy on the show. Brilliant researcher from University of Arizona. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.